Episode 40, April the 2nd, 2011. Yuri Gagarin and Captain Eric Brown. Hello and welcome to AstroTalk UK. AT UK is a not-for-profit amateur astronomy podcast produced by me, Gurbir Singh, an amateur astronomer based in the UK. For more information, see the About and FAQ pages at www.astrotalkuk.org. On Thursday, 13th of July, 1961, immediately following his meeting with the Prime Minister Harold Macmillan, Yuri Gagarin had the only private meeting of his five-day visit to Britain with Captain Eric Brown, where the press was not invited, no photographs were taken, and no official record kept. During this test pilot to test pilot meeting, Brown recalls that Gagarin told him he had ejected from his spacecraft during his descent to Earth. The Soviet Union consistently maintained that he had not ejected, but eventually, a decade later, they formally conceded that he had. When I asked Captain Brown why he had never published the details of his private meeting, "No one asked me before," he replied. At the time, Captain Brown was the Deputy Director of Naval Warfare, and the 20-minute meeting took place in Brown's office in the Admiralty. There were just five men present: Brown, his deputy, and on Brown's request, a colleague from the Admiralty who could speak Russian, but that was kept secret from Gagarin and his translator, Boris Beletsky. Brown sought additional confidence that the translator was translating sincerely. Captain Brown had a unique career as a test pilot. A fluent German speaker, he was encouraged to fly by the First World War German ace, Ernst Audet, when they met at the Berlin Olympics in 1936. Brown served as a pilot for the Royal Navy during the war, and by 1946, he had met many of the key players in aviation and rocket design: Hanno Reich, Hermann Göring, and Werner von Braun. Brown's achievements as a test pilot were well known. He had published many books. It's probably with the knowledge of his accomplishments that the Soviets agreed to such a meeting. Brown still holds the world record in deck landings, 2,407, and the number of aircraft types flown, 487. By 1960, many of his books were available in translation in technical colleges in the Soviet Union, which young aviators like Gagarin would have come across. It is likely that Gagarin knew of Brown and wanted to meet Brown just as much as Brown wanted to meet Gagarin. Immediately following the war, Brown was inevitably involved in supersonic flight testing and reached speeds of Mach 0.9. He was testing a secret high-performance aircraft designated Miles M-52, which was suddenly and suspiciously dropped in 1946. Had it not been, it's very likely that Brown would have added first supersonic flight to his collection of many firsts. In the event, Chuck Yeager in the USA claimed that achievement in 1947. Brown is considered to be the greatest ever test pilot by some within the aviation industry. This interview, recorded in his home on 19th of January 2011, 2 days before his 92nd birthday, is edited for his recollections of his meeting with Yuri Gagarin. Your life story is almost a mixture between Biggins and James Bond. It's almost like a novel, but in your case, of course, it's all real. You've got many records behind you. Number of, I think deck landing was your speciality.
That's right.
With over
2,407.
Mm-hmm.
And the variety of aircraft you've used over the your flying career, again, is just an incredible range, about 487.
Yeah, these are only types that you flew in command,
mm-hmm.
not as second pilot.
Right.
There were some rules we had to make on this. And the other thing was, you could only count the basic type, not different marks on models of the type. For example,
right.
I flew 14 marks of Spitfire,
right.
but you're only allowed to count that as ones.
And of course, some of these variations can be quite profound.
Oh, yes, yes. There were many, many marks of Spitfire. Many.
And I suppose, in a sense, because the way the industry's gone, there are fewer types of aircraft now?
Oh, very much so, yes, yeah. very much so.
So there's no... It's unlikely that somebody else could have a similar experience like
that. It's going to be very difficult. I doubt many people say it can't be broken, but one can never say that. But it's going to be very difficult.
Where were you when you met him?
I was in the Ministry of Defence, but it was called the Admiralty in those days. It hadn't it changed to the Ministry of Defence while I was there. And I was the Deputy Director of Naval Air Warfare. And I, of course, had been Chief Test Pilot at Farnborough.
Mm-hmm.
And since Gagarin had a test flying background, we had proposed to meet myself, and the Russians had agreed to this very much.
Oh.
And it was arranged in a quite intimate way. There were only about three of us in the room with him and his, I called him his commissar, who was really his interpreter and guide dog, I think.
All right.
But I was very suspicious of whether a Russian interpreter would really give us back what Gagarin said in his replies. So amongst the three of us, I had a naval Russian interpreter. I said to him, now don't tell them you're an interpreter. It might inhibit them.
Mm-hmm.
But just nod if I'm getting the real answers back.
Right.
And not some cooked-up answer uh-huh. from the commissar.
Uh-huh.
And it was very... I think... He and the commissar instinctively felt there was something like this going on because he never, I have to say, he never gravitated away from the answers that Gagarin gave, to the best of our knowledge, anyway. And Gagarin was in civilian clothes, he was not in uniform. And my first impressions of him were. He was a very simple citizen. I thought he's the type that would have been a Russian farmer or something of the sort. He was certainly very unsophisticated.
Oh, right.
And he was stockily built and quite like me, quite small, and except he was a bigger, stockier build. And altogether, I found him a rather delightful person, actually.
Oh.
Yes.
What sort of things did you
well,
exchange in your conversation?
We had worked it out. We were given 20 minutes to talk to him.
Uh-huh.
So we worked out, by the time we talked, got the interpretation back and whatnot,
mm-hmm.
we would have time for 9 or 10 questions.
Uh-huh.
And we pre-prepared the questions, and I kept a record of them then, and I have the record with me now.
Oh.
It's not the original, because the original has got weary with time,
uh-huh.
but I've been able to interpret it all right.
Uh-huh.
So I know exactly what I asked him, and what exactly he replied.
Oh, really?
And so I'll use these if I may.
Oh.
Would you like me to tell you what I asked him?
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Well, here is the list, but I'll tell you The first one I asked him was, what was his main impression during this flight?
Uh-huh.
And he said, it was the beauty of the universe, and in particular, that of our, he said, our world, as he saw it from the spaceship.
Mm-hmm.
So then I carried on and said, well now, what were your main sensations during this flight? And he said, well, it was one initially of tremendous noise and acceleration on the liftoff.
Uh-huh.
And he said, this was all very shattering, but suddenly it all went, as we went into orbit, it changed to quite serene peace. And he said, peace and quiet in orbit, and also with a little sensation of speed. He said, I just felt I was sitting there drifting round.
Right.
Except he said, you realize you were going fast by the fact that the Earth and etc. was moving away from you.
Mm.
Then I got down to the piloting side, and I said, were you concerned for your safety? And he said, no, because, he said, a test pilot knows how to cope with fear. And he said, but I must confess that I felt a little trepidation about the re-entry and the landing. He said, I wasn't frightened, but I was concerned. I knew things, if anything would go wrong, it would go wrong in that phase. And I said, well, had you much to do on the flight? And he said, no. He said, not compared to a standard aircraft test pilot.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I was a passenger for much of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to him, would you sooner be an astronaut or an aircraft test pilot? I didn't think I'd get the right answer from the commissar, but apparently I did, because Yuri said, I'd by far sooner be a test pilot, because he said, then I feel I've greater control over my fate.
Mm. That's a very common statement from all of the
Yes, yes, but remember, this was the first guy to do it, and maybe the others are copying what he said, you never know, but this was his enemy. And I said, all right, would you like to return to a test flight? And he said, I sincerely hope I'll be allowed to do so. Again, I was wondering if the commissar would allow him to say that, but apparently he did. And then, again, I returned a bit to a sensation. I asked him what sight during his flight on our, what sight on our planet, on the Earth, impressed him most. Was it thing like the Great Wall of China or the Grand Canyon,
mm-hmm.
something like this, which are very obvious from outer space? And he said, no, it was neither of these. What impressed me was the huge size of Mother Russia. You apparently hadn't appreciated it was quite as large as it appeared on from space.
And it's interesting because you can't always tell where the boundaries are and therefore
exactly
how he knew how big it was.
Exactly. I think he may have been briefed into this. You never know. But that's what he actually said. And I said, then we continued on. I said, did you have any problem with either re-entry or the bailout? And he said, the bailout and the landing procedure. And he said, no, I didn't. But he said, the heat on re-entry didn't frighten me, but I was very conscious of it. Very conscious of it. And he said, I was very grateful after, you see, they had to come down so far and then bail out of the spacecraft and land by parachute.
Did he actually say that to you, that yes. He did bail out?
Yeah.
Oh, because everywhere else he went, he insisted that he hadn't bailed out. He did really bail out.
But yes. He said, I was very thankful that the surface wind was so light.
Yes, yes.
So I obviously must have bailed out.
Hmm. And that's quite remarkable, because one of the things that he and his following cosmonauts on the Vostok series also had this ambiguous reference when they landed and how they landed. But Gagarin, although future cosmonauts would slip up and say we bailed out, so early on after his return, for him to say he did bail out, that's news. Thank you very much.
Well, I think, frankly, he had a slight feeling that this was a rather basic way of doing it, whereas maybe the American, well, he obviously knew they would not bail out, they would actually land in water, which was for the Russians a little difficult.
Right, and I guess because he could see that there weren't any newspaper men or TV cameras, so he perhaps was a bit freer to speak than he otherwise would have been.
Well, I had a feeling, as test pilots, we had quite a rapport, the two of us.
Oh, I see.
He actually looked as if he was enjoying,
right.
not po-faced and thinking, oh God, I've got to go through all this and whatnot. And I said to him, what was your main feeling in having achieved such a historic flight in space? Mm-hmm. And he thought a bit about this, and then he said, these were his actual words. I feel proud, as translated, I feel proud to show the world that Russia is leading the race in space technology.
Hmm. He obviously...
been briefed for this.
Yes. He frequently refers to Russia and its accomplishments.
Right, not the Soviet Union, he said. Yep, Russia.
Oh, actually said Russia.
Yeah. I mean, most people were talking then about Soviet Union.
Mm. Yeah.
But he said, you see, early on he referred also to Mother Russia.
Yes.
So he was, I would say he was rather of the old school in that sense.
Mm. When you had this conversation with him, you said it was about 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
There was just three of you and... Yeah. Gagarin and
Two of them. But him and the commissar, or the interpreter, or whatever you wish to call him.
That's quite a small group. Who were the other two people with you?
Was my deputy, and also this Russian naval interpreter.
Right. Are they still around, those two individuals?
My deputy certainly died a long time ago.
Right.
I would doubt whether they... interpreters around, because he was roughly the same age as I am.
Right.
Uh-huh.
And what were their names, do you remember?
My deputy was the same name as me, and the same initial, E, but he was Ed Brown, E.G. Brown.
Oh, right.
Yes. So Captain E.G. Brown.
Uh-huh.
And I was the deputy director, he was the assistant director,
mm-hmm.
and I can't remember now, so long ago, the name of the interpreter, because he was sent to us from a different department. He wasn't in my department.
Oh, I see.
I asked to have an interpreter, so he was supplied.
And it's, I think that's probably one of the reasons why you had such a, perhaps a sincere conversation, because it's a small group, in an isolated place, which was very different to the kind of experience that Gagarin had throughout his time in England. The meeting took place, it took place under the auspices of the Admiralty as it was there.
It was in the Admiralty.
It was in the...
Oh, yes.
Was it was in Admiralty
House? It was in my office.
It was in your office?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
And because the Russians had agreed, they were particularly impressed, not by my what I was doing as Director of Naval Air Warfare, but the fact that I had been the chief test pilot at Farnborough. And he had been a test pilot, and they thought the two of us would get along together.
And I understand that the meeting took place on a Thursday in the afternoon.
Right.
The meeting, did you request that, or did...
No, it came from the Soviet embassy. I presume the Admiralty had requested it, or maybe not. I don't know where the request came from, but certainly what was agreed was that he would meet myself more as the previous chief test pilot at Farnborough. There'd be a quite small meeting. Then he would be introduced into a large meeting of naval officers and civil servants.
And that was immediately after the meeting with you?
Yeah, it was. And he was a little uncomfortable in that, yes.
And that, again, was in the Admiralty?
Absolutely, yes.
And how long was that meeting for?
Oh, it went on for, I would say, a good hour.
Oh, I see. So
because there were drinks and small eats provided, and etc. Right. And it was rather, to my mind, like a cocktail party.
Yes.
Yes. And I didn't get the impression he was relaxed in the same way that he had been in the smaller party.
Mm. Yes.
Later on I met the lady astronaut.
Valentina Tereshkova.
Valentina, yes. Uh-huh. And she was very interesting. Uh-huh. And she had an interpreter, but it wasn't the same one that had been with Gagarin. Uh-huh. That is all I can say.
Oh, right.
She was a very interesting lady, too.
Where did he meet her?
Also the similar thing.
Oh, I see.
She came to the Admiralty,
right.
And it was arranged, and I found her most interesting. I didn't have a private session like I had with Gagarin. I was more in the cocktail party situation.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But I always remember asking her how a lady had got into this position.
Uh-huh.
And she said, well, you know, I wasn't actually chosen to do this flight. I was the deputy on the standby. She said, I was a paratrooper. I was not a test pilot.
Oh, she's a paratrooper.
Yeah, parachutist. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And she said, I wasn't the one to be doing this.
Uh-huh.
But the lady who was chosen to do it got a very bad cold just before she was due to do it.
Uh-huh.
And the medics said no, she couldn't do it. And they couldn't afford to delay the trip. And so I was thrown into it.
Yeah.
And
it's the first time I've come across that.
Really? Well, that's what she told us.
Yeah.
And she was a charming lady, I must say.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. And not the sort of big and heavy type I always think of the Russians.
Yeah.
She was rather a good-looking girl.
Yeah. Mm. And she's still around, she still does...
Yes, so I understand. Yeah. Tereshkova, wasn't it?
That's right.
Yes.
Valentina
Tereshkova, yeah.
And did you meet any others?
No, these are the only two I've ever met.
And besides those two meetings, did you meet Gagarin elsewhere?
Never. Okay. Because the next day I kept trying to keep track of what he was doing. Of course, he did get his request to go back to test flying, but unfortunately was killed in 1968, flying an aeroplane.
Today's quote is about how we humans relate to each other. from Captain Brown's book, Wings on My Sleeves. He was sent to northern France with three former German Air Force officers to recover a high-performance German aircraft. A kind of friendship with sincerity in it grew up amongst us. If they had wanted to, they could easily have disposed of me and made a run for it. But they carried out their duties to the letter, and often exceeded it.